And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Cottonwood and Prescott Valley, KQNA, it's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is sponsored by Cliff Castle Casino, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Barrett Propane, Augie's, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Dirt, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQNA, let's open up the mics. Here's your host, Chuck Roberts.
And hello, everybody. Happy Thursday. This is indeed the Roundtable. And we've got kind of a busy show for you today. A lot of interesting topics to discover, some very important news for you. And I just have to dispel the rumor that was not me at the Phoenix Open yesterday running around on the 16th fairway. That was a mistake somebody else made, but it sure proves what the Phoenix Open is. It is wild and crazy. So we're going to take a time out here, and we'll be back later on, and hope you enjoy your drive home or wherever you are. Be careful. Don't go too far away from your radio. We'll be back in a minute.
When it's time to enjoy a little drinking or dining out, stick with the winner. Prescott Brewing Company is approaching 22 years of providing a little something for everyone. Quiet street front, people watching front dining area, more people watching atrium dining in the middle of quaint and unique boutique shops. The bar area overlooking our small brew house where Arizona's most awarded breweries beers have been produced since 1994. A huge eclectic menu of time-tested favorites that we like to call pub cuisine and beyond. Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott, always a winning choice.
Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy knowing you're protecting the ones you love.
Give the team at your locally owned and operated House Chilson Insurance a call today at 445-4600. To find out more or to get a home, auto, or pet insurance quote, visit housechilson.com.
The Celebrate Life Health Expo 2018, sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, is on its way to Prescott Valley. Join us Saturday, March 3rd, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at our new venue, the Prescott Valley Events Center, 3201 North Main Street. Rain or shine, the Indoor Event Center will be your one-stop location to learn all about health and wellness in the Quad Cities. You'll find a wide variety of information, activities, health screenings, and demonstrations for everyone, young families and older adults as well. And while you're there, you can meet the Northern Arizona Suns basketball players. Our own NBA G League team will be on hand for autographs, photos, and even a practice scrimmage. Grab a game schedule and a few Suns giveaways too. Bring the whole family to the Celebrate Life Health Expo 2018 at the Prescott Valley Events Center, Saturday, March 3rd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reaper Graphics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reaper Graphics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
This is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. The fall and winter holidays are behind us, and as we head into the new year, it's important to remember that our local businesses still need us. The tourists and our families have gone home, and now is a great time to get out and enjoy the peaceful, quiet hometown that we've all fallen in love with. Remember to shop and dine locally, and if you need propane, please let Barrett Propane, your local choice, provide you with the hometown service you deserve. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Now joining us on Talk of the Town is Representative Martha McSally, who is a recently declared candidate for the U.S. Senate. Welcome to Talk of the Town.
Thanks for having me on, Sanford.
Well, I got to say, first of all, that you've already been to the Prescott area twice. You know, you're here for your announcement,
yep.
And then, you know, wasn't much, you know, much after that, came back here again. I mean, is this a pattern? We're going to be seeing a lot more of you in the weeks and months to come, and what does that also say about how you would maintain contact with the population if you were successful in being elected to the Senate?
Absolutely. I've been here now twice in, I think, single-digit days for my announcement, and then coming back to visit with members of the community. So I intend to be here a lot, and should I be offered the honor to represent the whole state of Arizona in the Senate, then I will be back repeatedly. Prescott is a very important community that is represented by the senator, and so my intent is to be listening during the campaign, make sure I understand what the priorities and the challenges of the people are, answer their questions, you know, come to some understandings on things that I can fight for, and then, you know, if elected, then actually go fight for them and continue to keep my ear to the ground. I think it's so important. The model that I've had since I've represented southeastern Arizona in Congress is to be out and about in the community, listening to people, listening to experts on different issues, hearing their questions and concerns, and staying really grounded around normal people outside the Beltway in Washington, D.C. I consider that the new place that I deploy to now. I can't wait to get the heck out of there as fast as possible when we're out of session so that I can get back and listen to those that I'm honored to represent. So you can expect to see me here a lot.
Well, I know one thing that is near and dear to you and something we talked about at the roundtable over at the Prescott Valley Chamber was about the state of military readiness and how concerned you are about that. First of all, I think the numbers that I think people would find most striking is the percentage of forces that are ready versus what it used to be like. Because I don't think people really have a firm grasp of just how much has been cut from the military.
We have amazing men and women from our country that continue to choose to put their life on the line and raise their right hand to protect us. And they're doing the best they can. But over the last decade, under this thing called sequestration, we've cut our military about 20%, all while the world has gotten far more dangerous and the deployment tempo is high. Think about the fight against ISIS and Russia invading its neighbors and North Korea's latest provocations and China building islands in the South China Sea and, you know, the complexity of the cyber terrorism and the cybersecurity. All of that has happened since the decision to be continuing to cut our military. So our current state is not in a good place. We've, you know, I served 26 years in uniform. I used to command a fighter squadron, 24 airplanes. We used to have 134 fighter squadrons in the Air Force. We now have 55 from Desert Storm until now. And over 50% of them are not ready to deploy. And that's because of the training and the maintenance and the parts. But those are even looking like they're ready to deploy. The pilots are getting far fewer hours than we used to get over years and years and years. Our Army Brigade Combat Teams are also very, like a single digit number of them can deploy right now. And a lot of them haven't had the full spectrum combat training that they might be asked to go to. So this didn't happen overnight. And it's like turning an aircraft carrier around. But we're finally providing the, you know, partnering with our president, who is very committed to support the military, leading on the issue. I serve on the Armed Services Committee. I'm the only female veteran in the GOP in the House to give that firsthand, you know, perspective of what it's like to serve when you're trying to others are trying to hollow out the force or play political games with it, like we saw happen a few weeks ago, shutting down the government and hurting our military so they wouldn't get they wouldn't get paid while they're deployed is totally reckless. So we need the other side to come to the table to finalize these budget agreements so that our military can have what they need. And it's going to take years to turn it around after the failures of the past, but we're going on the right path.
Nice. And also, one of the other things we talked about was the issue regarding DACA, and that there the negotiations that involve border security, that's something that you've been firsthand involved in.
So I chair the Border and Maritime Security Subcommittee. I was given that leadership role as a freshman, first time anyone from Arizona, and I've been chairing that now for a couple of years. I'm also one of only 9 members of Congress that represent an actual border community right on the border. And so I've been down to the border a lot, talking to the border residents and ranchers and really seeing what's working, what's not working across the country as well. And I am in the room and leading on the issue related to this. And look, I think most people are willing to do something on DACA, but we have to have as our top priority that we secure our border, that we address the failures of the past strategy, the lack of resources, the lack of technology and infrastructure to include a border wall where it's necessary. And there's plenty of places that we could still use a physical barrier combined with all these other things in order to give our Border Patrol agents everything they need to stop these dangerous cartels that are coming into our communities. That has to be our highest priority. And we also, if we are addressing this DACA population, I think, again, most Americans would say, okay, but let's make sure we don't end up here again. We don't have another DACA population in a year or 5 years, and we're dealing with the same problem. So we have to deal with the root causes of why we have a DACA population. And if we move on something legislatively to address it, we've seen this in the past. It will incentivize more illegal activity nearly immediately. People will send the message, and now with social media, come on, just come over, you know, the border, get there, hide for, you know, a decade or so, and then the American people are going to have compassion on your kids. That is not the kind of policy that we need to have. And so we've got to ensure that we can stop that from happening while we also hit other priorities of cracking down on sanctuary cities and passing Kate's Law, which, you know, Kate Steinle was killed by a man who was deported 5 times. And so increasing penalties for that while also moving our legal immigration system towards one that is more merit-based as opposed to extended family members. So I've been leading on the issue. I was invited to the White House for that public meeting that the media was invited to. I was sitting 2 people away from the president in between Dick Durbin and John Cornyn. And I have introduced a bill with some of my teammates that we believe is a consensus starting point for these highest priorities. And we need the Democrats to sit down at the table and negotiate in good faith with us.
Do you think we can get past the use of coarse and harsh language in the political arena? Or is that something that is here to stay and you just have to because I know you've said when you were here to announce your candidacy in Prescott, one of the things that I just about fell over laughing when you said, you got to grow a pair of ovaries, you know, and of course, you know, you're wearing a military uniform at
right.
the time. So I'm like, you know. You really have this thing nailed. And I'm just wondering have we bottomed out on the coarseness of our language? Are we going to be able to turn that ship around, do you
think? Well, as I said that day, and I'm pretty authentic, people will, as they get to know me, they'll discover that I'm say what you mean to mean what you say. And I am a fighter pilot. I was the first woman to fly in combat and command a fighter squadron. I have been in a male-dominated environment and fighter pilot environment. If you've ever seen Top Gun, you know what I'm talking about. So, I do speak a little edgy. It's a part of who I am. But I don't think it's necessarily inappropriate, although maybe my mom would disagree. But, you know, grow a pair of ovaries was my way of saying, show some courage, you know, and do it in a funny way that hopefully was not offensive to people. It was in my announcement video, which is like, show some courage. Like, I'm a woman. I'm going to say grow a pair of ovaries, right? And it's now been sort of coined, and I think a lot of people are like, I'm not trying to offend men. I think on the, you know, on the deeper level, what I'm more concerned about is not sort of funny quips like that and maybe people being offended by it, but just the harshness of the way people in our society are treating each other who have sincerely held disagreements with each other on philosophies or ideology or policy issues. But ultimately, we're all Americans. And we've gotten past the point in the old days, you know, I'm reading one of Barry Goldwater's books again, and, you know, where he would quote we should be able to disagree without being disagreeable. And in the old days, they used to be able to do that. Again, this is in our society and then also in the political realm for those who represent. And we've gotten to this place, and I don't know what the root causes are. Some of it, I think, is a little bit the social media. It's easier to, it's hard to hate up close. You know, it's easier to hate when you're behind a computer screen. But look, I've had somebody arrested and on 3 charges of threatening to kill me. We've had the shooting against Steve Scalise and the other Republicans. So this isn't just sitting behind a computer. I mean, there's a real depth of anger that is people are now taking it out on each other that they disagree. And I'm really concerned about the fabric of our society unraveling and what that turns into, threats of violence, the words of violence becoming becoming acts of violence, it's a slippery slope. And I'm more concerned about that and how that's reflected in the way we engage and solve things for us.
Well, to me, social media is nothing more than a big CB radio. I mean, basically, yeah. With a CB radio, everybody can get on and just say whatever they want. And, you know, that's really not communication,
yeah.
Which is why, you know, thankfully, I think there's been kind of a return to the respect of media outlets like ours, where you have the ability to hear from a Martha McSally without yeah. having to endure countless phone calls of people just simply there to vent anger or mm-hmm. opposition or whatever. You know, I think that kind of drowns out the real life experiences mm-hmm. of people like you.
Absolutely. And a thoughtful dialogue about the issues that we face, right? People may have different views about how to address, again, border security or how to address, you know, some of the issues we already talked about. Let's talk about it. Let's do it based on the facts. Maybe we'll learn something from each other based on our own personal experiences, because we're all impacted by that. And we often tend to interact with people that are more like us. And I mean, I already represent a very diverse community, and it has been such a tremendous blessing, really, to be visiting one day with, you know, fifth generation ranchers on the border, and the next day, you know, with someone who maybe arrived in Arizona recently and is a recent graduate from a college and has an idea and brought it to market as an entrepreneur. And they've, you know, just have different perspectives. And just listening to people from all walks of life and hearing their perspective, it makes us better. But we need to stop yelling at each other and then hating each other because maybe we have different views of things.
You know, one of the illustrations that I've used for people that really don't understand the issues on the border is that, well, if you go out to Dewey Humboldt or if you go up to Coyote Springs or out to Chino Valley and look at the barbed wire fence that you see as you're driving down the street. Well, just imagine that you're Sue and Jim Chilton in yeah. Aravaca, yeah. friends of mine, friends of yours.
Yep.
That's their border.
Right.
It's a barbed wire fence.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And so how is that secure?
And, you know, and again, the old days when there were no barriers at all, the cartels were just driving through. It was a free for all anywhere. And these ranchers who were along the border, they were just having to deal with, them coming and taking, you know, cutting down their fences and killing their cattle and impacting, and threatening them. We saw that with Rob Krentz, who was murdered there. I mean, this is very real. So when they did put up some barriers, which, by the way, the Secure Fence Act was voted on by people like Chuck Schumer and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. They thought it was a good idea to put 700 miles of some sort of physical infrastructure, call it a wall, call it fencing, whatever you want, of a barrier that is a problem for the cartels to solve. And so we've got some of that in southern Arizona now, but in some places it's still missing. In some places it's a very low, what they call Normandy barriers, which are only a couple feet high and they're intended just for vehicles. And look, the cartels are innovative. They're still, you know, shooting drugs over and they're cutting through and going under. So we have to have a holistic strategy that also is intelligence driven, that gives our Border Patrol everything they need, that uses technology and builds situational awareness and quickly allows us to intercept. But a physical barrier helps work. I was down, I mean, here's the irony of how ridiculous this whole thing has gotten lately. I was down in Naco looking at a section a few months ago that was just recently rebuilt. And there's construction going on, and they took some old fencing and they turned it into like these steel bollards. I'm using my hands as if people can see me. But anyway, you know, so we're down there and people are like freaking out like, oh, that's, you know, Trump's wall. And the reality is that was approved to be replaced under Barack Obama. So I was down there and I was like, no, this is not Trump's wall. This is Obama's wall. I mean, this is how insane it's got. It was reasonable to change out those barriers because we needed better ones in order to create a more challenging problem for the cartels. And so where we still need that, we need it. I mean, it's the reality, and it has to be in those right places. And we got to be good stewards of taxpayers' resources. But this has become such a bizarre, we have people that are just so hysterical that this president got elected, and they just are going to be against everything he says or does. And so there's not even logic in some of the hysteria and the pushback that's happening.
I got two more questions and we're done.
Okay.
The first one is regarding NAFTA. There's been quite a bit of talk with President Trump about wanting to renegotiate NAFTA. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, NAFTA, I think, in all, you know, economically speaking, overall has been a positive for Arizona, wouldn't you agree?
It has been a positive for Arizona. I think there's other parts of the country maybe who feel differently, but I believe it does. They're in the middle of the renegotiations. They just started another round. It needs to be modernized for sure. It has to be updated. The digital economy, energy sectors, and other things certainly have to be modernized, and that is needs to be a real focus. My concern is related to specifically the agricultural sector of Arizona and produce and farmers and ag who export tremendous amount of what they grow to Mexico and Canada. Should there be a decision to pull out, I think that would be awful. I'm concerned that we may be getting to a place that risk is a little higher, but we've really tried to speak strongly about the importance of how it needs to be improved and how it needs to be a level playing field so that our companies, our economy can grow and compete by exporting their goods. And so we'll be keeping an eye on it. I've met with the U.S. Trade Representative. I've met with the Secretary of Commerce. I organized a meeting of border communities representatives with them because I wanted to make sure they heard from us and get past some of the rhetoric of other parts of the country, because there's ways for us to have a win-win-win and continue to grow our economy based on cross-border commerce. And I'm really concerned if there's a pullout.
Last question. One of the expected outcomes of NAFTA was, and perhaps still is, the creation of the Canamex Highway, which is I-11 going north-south in Arizona. What's your feeling on the viability of that highway and whether or not it's something that should be a priority in our transportation plan?
So it absolutely should be a priority. I fought really hard for the I-11 to be in the highway bill that we passed last year to make sure that it was included as what we call a high priority corridor, as a future project, and we were able to win that fight. But it's not just I-11. You come up from the port of entry down in Nogales area, there's this little two-lane road called SR-189 that connects to I-19 that we've also were advocating to make sure that roads like that could be included, even though they're state roads, for future federal funding, because they are so critical for the connectivity, getting us up from the port of entry, actually, and then up and out from there. Additionally, I-19 was not included in the freight corridor, and so we fought for that to make sure that was included, because that has to connect up to I-11. And then we had one other priority, which was the Sonoran Corridor, which is another element of kind of cutting the corridor between I-19 and I-10 so that goods can come up and go to the east and actually save time and not be bogged down in the city of Tucson. So we were 4-for-4 in our wins in the highway bill on that. And as we look forward, working with the White House and the administration on a future infrastructure bill that we hopefully will be moving on this year, I'm going to make sure that I'm fighting really hard for those priorities as well.
Well, you know, the Senate, they say, is a more deliberative body, and you impress me as being someone that could be rather impatient with people that, you know, don't kind of, you know, start to move a little bit. And in the House, obviously, things happen much more quickly. How would you anticipate adjusting to the pace that the Senate has set for itself?
Well, maybe they'll have to adjust to me is the way I look at it. And I appreciate deliberation. I worked for Senator Kyle as a legislative fellow when I was a major. But there's a difference between deliberation and obstruction. And really, starting with Harry Reid, they have turned the Senate into a body that has been an obstructionist towards anything that we're trying to move forward. And I think it's very dysfunctional. And we've got hundreds of bills that we've passed in the House, over 200 that we passed by voice vote, which means they were unanimous and not contentious, that are just sitting over there. So I think they need to crank up their level of action. I'm very results and action oriented, and whether they got to work around the clock and put some cots in there and whatever they need to do in order to be producing more, because the American people are getting frustrated with it. I look forward to being a part of moving that forward.
Well, thank you for launching your campaign here in the Prescott area, and for your return visit as well. We appreciate you joining us on Talk of the Town.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. This is a historic town. Barry Goldwater, as you know, launched his presidential campaign here, and so I wanted to be here and actually flew in the AT-6, the airplane that he flew in training to get here. So,
Representative Martha McSally joining us here on Talk of the Town. We'll be back after this.
We We did it again. Cliff Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 17 years in a row. All casinos have slot machines and table games. What they don't have is the level of commitment to guest satisfaction, friendly team members, and a warm and welcoming environment found at Cliff Castle Casino. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com today and plan your visit. Come and experience everything we have to offer and see why Cliff Castle Casino is number one and the perfect place to play.
Now that it's finally cooled down outside, let's spruce up the yard. Prescott Dirt has the boulders, the rock, the topsoil. Oh yeah, we'll help you make your yard the talk of the town. I'm Sam with Prescott Dirt. We've been making the community beautiful since the early 90s with the best prices for landscaping materials along with the best service around. Come on, come see me at Prescott Dirt. We have locations in Prescott and Prescott Valley, and you can get lots of information at PrescottDirt.com.
This is Ted Guttle. Along with my brother Adam, we have a great time doing these radio ads, but we are dead serious when it comes to keeping you cool in the summer and warm in the winter. At Guttle's, your comfort is no laughing matter, and not only do we insist on using the best quality parts and equipment, but also the most highly trained and skilled workers. No cutting corners, no overselling, just doing what's right for you. That's a promise we've kept since 1987.
Hey! Don't settle. Get Guttle's High Desert Mechanical in the Prescott area. Call 772-2751.
Ah, love. It's a beautiful thing. Like the lovely Valentine's Day special menu at Auggie's. Chef Joel has lovingly created a four-course dinner with choices at each level from appetizer to dessert. Four courses, $40 per person. Don't forget reservations. Call Auggie's at 777-0330. Auggie's Valentine's Day dinner in place of the regular menu, one night only. Auggie's Frontier Village, the place to dine on Highway 69 with your Valentine.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Chuck Roberts.
Okay. I enjoyed listening to potential United States Senator Martha McSally, Colonel McSally, currently a representative for Arizona. And she had some very valid points that I'm glad that Sanford brought up, especially the border between southern Arizona and northern Sonora, because I have lots of friends I mentioned to Sanford last week that live in Rocky Point, and they have no intention at all of sneaking across the border into Arizona. And one of my best friends down there, he and his wife came to Tucson, went to the gym show last week. And they said, but if someone wants to sneak across the border, they can do it over near Sasebe. And I also mentioned the fact that vigilance starts with keeping the drug cartels from flying those drones across the border. So I think Colonel McSally has a valid point. There's a lot of different ways to set up barriers, but it has to be consistent, or the cartels, they'll figure a way around it. They're, big money involved in that, more money than even I make each week. Speaking of big money, Phoenix Open is going on right now. The loudest place to play golf in the world. And yesterday had a streaker. I don't know. What it is, but is of course they're sharing about $6 million in prize money. So I guess some of these golfers are used to the very polite applause. We'll put up with some drunken, loud screams for a share of that pot. But so there you go. And I think there's a football game Sunday. Somebody mentioned that there's a Super Bowl? Yeah, that's what it is. And we'll have that on right on this station, KQ&A, starting at noon on Sunday. All right, we're going to take a break for the news. We're going to come back, and we're going to continue with our military theme. We're going to talk to our friend Mary from the Prescott VA, and she has a special guest, Trish Algetz, and we'll fill you in on all that good stuff after we take a break for the news. And you are encouraged to come back to listen to KQ&A, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and on the internet at kqna.com.
The open road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home with a view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to have been chosen one of the top 50 RV dealerships in North America. We're located at Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69, Prescott Valley, and Dewey, and online at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
Prescott Center for the Arts begins the new year with the Neil Simon production of Lost in Yonkers. This Tony Award-winning play is a semi-autobiographical story set in 1942 Yonkers about the trials and tribulations that test family ties and what happens to children in the absence of love. That is the question that lies at the heart of this funny and heart-rending play by one of America's most acclaimed playwrights. The show runs through February 4th. Tickets and information are available at pca-az.net.
Yavapai County Contractors Association presents 60 Seconds of Interest.
When hiring a contractor, the day of the handshake is over. Here are contract requirements if your contract amount is over $1,000. The following information must be in your contract. The date the parties entered into the contract. The estimated date of completion. Description of the work to be performed. The total amount to be paid to the contractor, not considering any change orders. The dollar amount of any advance deposit, the total amount of any progress payments, and the due date of those payments. And most importantly, notification. The property owner has a right to file a written complaint with the Registrar of Contractors of any alleged violation. The Registrar's phone number, website must be included in the contract. Questions? Call Yavapai County Contractors Association, 778-0040.
This has been YCCA's 60 Seconds of Interest.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Thursday. I'm Link Elliott with the check of news and weather together on Talk of the Town, brought to you by Affinity RV. The Yavapai County Sheriff's Office is investigating the discovery of a man and a woman who have been found dead from gunshot wounds. Just after 12:30 Tuesday afternoon, deputies were dispatched to a Passage Lane home. The caller had seen the doors at the home open since the day before and thought that was suspicious. Deputies found the dead man and woman and a firearm. Yavapai County Sheriff's detectives are investigating the circumstances and have indicated a murder-suicide scenario as a possible factor. The final conclusion is pending the ongoing review of evidence to include autopsy results. Identification of the couple is pending notification of next of kin. You won't be able to use the Granite Mountain and Thumb Butte cliff faces for climbing or any other activities.
Starting today, Prescott National Forest officials are implementing closures on Granite Mountain and Thumb Butte. Both sites are consistently occupied by peregrine falcons annually for more than 20 years. The closures will provide the undisturbed setting and quality nesting habitat needed for peregrines to raise their young. On Granite Mountain, it's prohibited to be upon any part of the cliff face or the rim above it and extending 100 feet back from the edge. On Thumb Butte, both the north and south cliff faces and the areas at the base of those cliff faces will be closed to entry. Maps of the closed area will be posted throughout both the Thumb Butte and Granite Basin recreation areas. I'm Dave Fone reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Partly cloudy tonight, sunny and calm looking at the weekend. Expect an overnight low of 36 tonight in the Prescott area, with a high of 64 tomorrow, and a high of 64 again on Saturday. 32 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, with a high on Friday of 73, and a high on Saturday of 73 again. Talk of the Town will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. KQ&A.
This is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. The fall and winter holidays are behind us, and as we head into the new year, it's important to remember that our local businesses still need us. The tourists and our families have gone home, and now is a great time to get out and enjoy the peaceful, quiet hometown that we've all fallen in love with. Remember to shop and dine locally, and if you need propane, please let Barrett Propane, your local choice, provide you with the hometown service you deserve. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
When someone comes into Prescott Brewing Company and asks which domestic beers we have available, they're usually looking for one of the macro beers that took over the brewing industry after Prohibition. But while those beers are still produced in America, the companies that produce them are no longer American-owned. We offer you a variety of premium domestic beers brewed right here in Prescott, Arizona. How much more domestically made can you get? Made in America and American-owned. Prescott Brewing Company, real beer, real food, real people, and real local.
What's that you say? There's nothing like homegrown fresh eggs. But aren't you a little small for that? Didn't you leave out the part about going home with a nice family, getting through your teenage stage, and then laying the best eggs anywhere, and you say Olson's is the best place to get you? But they have 39 years of experience selling healthy baby chicks, and the knowledge and all the stuff to help your new family keep you healthy. This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. It's amazing what you find out when you speak to the experts. The first thing you'll need to do is to go online to olsonsfamily.com and click on events. Once there, you'll see dates for Olson's how-to chick seminars at each one of our five stores. You can even sign up online. By coming to the seminars, you'll get the first peek at the arrival dates, breeds, and quantities of your new baby chicks. A few months later, you'll be eating the best eggs you've ever tasted. The experts and newbies trust Olson's. We think local, we speak local, and we care local.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Chuck Roberts.
Friend of those who want no friend. That is I, McGee. How many people remember Fibber, McGee, and Molly? Yeah. Chuck Roberts remembers. He's an old guy. Today is Josh Dillinger's birthday, and to honor that, we have his wife, Mary Dillinger, here from the Prescott VA. Did we do that all right? You sneak that in? Okay. Mary Dillinger from the Prescott VA, and welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me, as always, Chuck. It's good to be here.
And you have a special guest today, and we're going to talk about activities at the Prescott VA, which is, to me, one of the crown jewels of Northern Arizona. I think so. As a patient there and as a participant in some of the events, one of the events that people can get involved in is Valentine's Day. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, it's National Salute to Veterans Week. It's a national holiday that the VA has, and it's always the week of Valentine's Day, and that's why I have Trish Algetz here. She is the head of voluntary service, and this event is hers each year, and she has a lot of different activities that she'd love to tell everybody about.
All right, Trish, you're up.
I'm up. Thank you. National Salute, like she said, is the week of Valentine's Day, February 11th to the 17th. It really has three different purposes. The first is to promote volunteerism at our various facilities across the country. The second is to inform our community and let them know how we can collaborate and that we are here and for them to come into the facility and learn about us. And the third, of course, is the most important, and that is to honor the veterans that we serve here in Yavapai County in Northern Arizona.
You have how many people that right now are volunteers? How many would you say? And when I say volunteer, some people are volunteer an hour a week, some 2 hours a day. So you kind of go over that with me.
Volunteers at the VA, we have about 430.
Wonderful.
Usually around that number. And they work across the campus and basically every service that we have out there. So our facility really cherishes those volunteers because they do give us so much time and provide so many services that really help us enhance the customer service that we can provide, or the customer experience, we call it. And then they can also help us so much with enhancing the quality of life for the veterans who are residing with us.
And I've seen that firsthand. Mary, you have too. And like I said, you know, some people are there, they'll just work on Monday. Mm-hmm. But they'll help, you know, vets who are in a wheelchair, get them around, get them to the right appointments and so on. And sometimes you think back and go, so what? That's important. It makes a difference
gosh, yes.
in a vet's life. And we've got everything from, we still have some World War II left, mm-hmm. and Korea and Vietnam and Afghanistan and everything in between, because you didn't have to be in a war to be a veteran.
Correct.
So tell me about some of the things that are available for people who are listening right now.
Regarding National Salute?
Yep.
National Salute, there's several different ways that the community can really get engaged with us. The first and the easiest is to provide Valentines for veterans. It's a way that you can say thank you to veterans. It's also a way for you to let them know that they are not forgotten. I'd like to point out, too, that, you know, anytime during the year, we love to receive those greetings from our community members and people from different organizations. So that's one way that we can really help celebrate that week. Another way is to maybe even schedule a time when you could come in and visit with veterans or come in for a tour. And we do have quite a few people already scheduled for tours during that week. That would include our county supervisors, our local mayors. We have some schools. Trinity School is one of those. Several service organizations will be coming in on their regular days like they usually do and do different activities with our veterans in our community living center and in the domiciliary, as well as doing some special distributions as well. The cadets from Embry-Riddle are going to be coming in throughout the week to help us escort veterans to the Creative Arts Festival and help celebrate Valentine's Day with our veterans in the Community Living Center. But I think the highlight for us this year is we're able to host Mike Vanderjagt, who was he was in the NFL as well as the Canadian Football League, and most recently played with the Colts and the Cowboys as a punter and a kicker. So he's going to come and spend pretty much the entire day with us and visit throughout the campus.
What day?
Thursday.
Okay. On Valentine's week.
During that week, yes.
Yeah.
So we're excited to have him because it's an opportunity to really show him what the day is like for our veterans and to really brighten it up for them. So we're excited about that.
Mary, tell me about, we're going to come back to Trisha
sure.
in a minute. Tell me a little bit about the campus there. It seems like there's perpetual construction going on and some really new and interesting developments in terms of care for our veterans.
There are, and we're always trying to improve care for veterans. And so, unfortunately, when you are doing that, there is construction, which does hinder a few things, but the outcome usually outweighs that the wait time or the issues you might be having.
Of course, most of my inconvenience, quote unquote, is, you know, parking. Mm-hmm. But you have shuttles going all the time.
We do. And actually, Trish, the shuttles are provided. Trish has control over that. And I haven't heard any complaints. And I'd like people to know that if there is problems with the shuttles, please don't hesitate to let us know because we're trying to make sure that the shuttles run between every 5 and 10 minutes. They stop at every single stop. I've personally witnessed where there are veterans or family members that aren't even actually at a stop, but they look a little like they're not sure where they're supposed to go, and the shuttle driver will pull over and say, do you need help? Do you need, and they'll pick them up and take them around the other side, because we understand that with the construction, we lost a lot of the parking spots that were over at the main parking lot that everybody parked at. So once they get over to one of the parking lots that's behind the building, then people are a little disoriented as to, wait, which way am I supposed to go? Or after they're in the hospital, they go to their appointment, they go to the lab and pharmacy, and by the time they come out, they can't remember.
Yeah.
So the shuttle drivers will help you with that. They're really good about saying, well, let's go around and see, was it over near here or there? And they're constantly going around, so people aren't standing outside waiting like you would for a city bus or anything like that. And the purpose of most of the construction is to improve care. For example, one of the really big projects we have is the lab and pharmacy construction. And that's because if you've been to the VA and you've had to get your blood drawn for one reason or another, you know that the lab is very tiny. Meaning if I'm in there, because I'm a veteran, if I'm in there getting my blood drawn and Chuck's next to me, I literally can hear everything that's going on. So if he cries like a baby about his shot, I'm going to hear it.
Here's your lollipop, Mr. Robert.
So we're trying to make the lab larger, yeah, so that you do have a little bit more patient privacy, which is important to our veterans. Same thing at the pharmacy. The pharmacy, we do have a waiting area, which is good, but we need to make that a little bit bigger because sometimes when it's high volume time for people to come get their medications or high clinic time areas, there's not always enough seating because the veterans usually come in with some of their family members and there isn't enough. So we're making the pharmacy larger for the waiting area and to provide more patient privacy there as well.
I have seen husband, wife, and teams, so to speak, you know, where, but sometimes I think, well, the wife is with the veteran, and it turns out a lot of times it's the lady that's the veteran, and the husband is helping her because she has, you know, she's on crutches or whatever. And you're right, in that waiting area, you have ample seating if it's not too busy. But sometimes I see people just standing up, waiting, walking around, trying, you know, and if you're waiting for your pain medication or whatever, maybe the best thing for you is not to be walking around, to sit, relax for a minute, and wait till your name comes up on the board.
Correct. So that is...
So are they going to move all this? When you're done with this, the lab will go to a different building?
Yes, everything is going to move around. We're trying to accommodate everything so you don't actually have to leave the building, but some stuff you will, but it's just going to be on the other side where you can see there's like an opening between where the main hospital was and the emergency department building. So that's where everything is being moved over to. So that it'll kind of just transfer over that way. And then we have other projects that are either getting ready to go underway or are out for bid right now. So this isn't the end of the construction. We're going to continue to make improvements, but we're going to do our best to not take away any parking spots during the projects if ever can be.
But like you said, you have the shuttle. And Trish, right. Do you have enough volunteers to cover the shuttle drivers?
At this point, we are starting to dwindle, so if anyone is interested in doing that, I'd encourage them to come in and see us. You know, one of the things, too, most people have a cell phone these days, and the number to call if you're waiting or looking for a shuttle, trying to figure out where you might have parked, is to call 776-6013, and that's the voluntary service office, and we do all the dispatching out of there. So we would, that number is always available to folks from 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. And a little bit on either end of that, but always between 7 and 4.
Most, if you're working in the afternoon, you'll be out of there by 5:30, most likely.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, if you need the shuttle, you can, when you're leaving the clinic, you can ask the MSA at the desk, can you call the shuttle for me?
Use the acronym MSA.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to use an acronym. The person that's at the desk, their medical support assistant, you could tell that person at the desk, can you call a shuttle for me? They know the number to the shuttles. And there's also some phones hanging up on the walls. They're courtesy phones. You can pick one of those courtesy phones up and dial 6013. And that'll get you the volunteer service. You can say, I need a shuttle. I'm outside of the gold team or wherever you might be. And they can come and pick you up there as well. So that number, you know, you can dial the direct line, which, as Trish said, I'll repeat it again, is 776-6013. Or if you're there, you can just dial the extension.
What other areas would you like to see some extra help in the volunteer?
In voluntary service, you know, we are having new assignments come to us nearly, well, at least several times a week. Right now, we're really looking for people who might like to help us in our nutrition and food service. They are looking for folks who are wellness-minded to help them in a couple of different programs. One of those programs is the MOVE program, which is weight loss and healthy living. And then in addition to that, they're looking for somebody who can help in their healthy teaching kitchen. So people who are, you know, they don't have to have teaching skills, just an interest in the wellness topic. And then they're also looking for somebody who would be available during the day to assist during meal times on our community living center. And they're really looking for an ambassador there, somebody to be an extra pair of hands and an extra pair of eyes, to maybe butter bread, open up milk, pour their coffee.
The maitre d' kind of thing.
Yeah, and then also just to sit and enjoy time together while the veteran eats, because we all know that socialization is so important and really could encourage somebody to eat who normally doesn't care
That's an interesting point, that sometimes a veteran feels kind of isolated. They came here and they don't have any friends yet, and they're kind of down and feeling like, woe is me. And maybe they just need somebody to pat them on the back and say, hey, how's it going? Can I get you some milk or something like mm-hmm. that? You know, and that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what we're looking for, is somebody to be there to be a friend during their mealtime.
And your volunteers don't have to be service-oriented at all.
No, they don't. They do not need to be veterans. They do not need to be a family member of a veteran. They can be anybody who just has a sincere desire to give back to
and
veterans.
And I'm surprised that, you know, as older as I am now, and I go to the VA, I see so many kids. They're not kids.
No.
But they're service members. And one of the fellows I saw was a student of mine years ago when I was at Embry-Riddle. And he lost a leg in combat. And he said, hey, Mr. Roberts! And I said, what? And mm-hmm. I thought, this kid, he's not a kid. He's a veteran. And but we have so many of these young people now that are coming back with various degrees of needs. Some just need meds, and some people, you know, need some counseling. And, mm-hmm. and I know, Marion, you've talked about the help for veterans that are homeless or having some other issues, and that's going to be a big development that you're going to improve on the campus. Let me take a commercial break, and we'll talk about that. So we'll be back with more on the Thursday Roundtable, KQ&A, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. From Gettle's High Desert Mechanical, which now includes plumbing.
Freezing and thawing can get your pipes leaking.
So check under your sinks and see if you see any drippage.
Drippage? Now that's a fancy word.
Yep, right out of the Plum and Plumber Dictionary.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
See a plumbing leak? Then see Gettle's for heating, air conditioning, and plumbing. Visit GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle, get Gettle's.
Ah, love. It's a beautiful thing. Like the lovely Valentine's Day special menu at Auggie's. Chef Joel has lovingly created a four-course dinner with choices at each level from appetizer to dessert. Four courses, $40 per person. Don't forget reservations. Call Auggie's at 777-0330. Auggie's Valentine's Day dinner in place of the regular menu, one night only. Auggie's Frontier Village, the place to dine on Highway 69 with your Valentine.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. AutoOwners Insurance, the no-problem people.
Give the team at your locally owned and operated House Chilson Insurance a call today at 445-4600. To find out more, or to get a home, auto, or pet insurance quote, visit housechilson.com.
Is your advertising being noticed? Getting the right attention means getting the right business. At A&E Reprographics, we focus not only on customer service, but also highest quality printing and design that is sure to catch the eye. A&E Reprographics knows how to design, print, and deliver what you're looking for in your time frame. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
We did it again. Cliff Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 17 years in a row. All casinos have slot machines and table games. What they don't have is the level of commitment to guest satisfaction, friendly team members, and a warm and welcoming environment found at Cliff Castle Casino. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com today and plan your visit. Come and experience everything we have to offer and see why Cliff Castle Casino is number one and the perfect place to play.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Chuck Roberts.
Yes, he is. And thank you for joining us this Thursday. And we have Trish Algetz, Volunteer Service Director for Prescott Veterans Administration Hospital. Is that right?
That's close enough. Yeah.
Okay. And Mary Dillinger, our buddy, who's in charge of everything else. Trish, you have a special event coming up. We need to plug real quick.
We do. I do want to say we were talking about the struggles that people might face while they're at the facility and maybe feeling lost. We want to point out that all of our volunteers are wearing royal blue shirts, and it is their job to help you out. So if you have a question, stop somebody in a royal blue shirt, or an employee, of course, and they should be able to help you. Okay? And one last thing, then, is the Veterans Creative Arts Festival during National Salute. The Creative Arts Show is for veterans who are creative and have things to show, and they that will be from Wednesday on February 14th from noon to 4, as well as Thursday all day from 9 to 4, and Friday from 9 till noon. And then at noon we'll have our awards program.
That will be at the library?
That will be at the theater in Building 15.
Okay.
So it's an exciting time for those artists because they have the opportunity to compete at a national level and then go to a national creative arts festival. Yeah. So we would encourage everybody to come out. We have some wonderful artists in our community, and we'd love to see everybody.
Absolutely. And I've been there, and it was amazing. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is. And we had five of our local veterans who placed at the national level last year. So we have some very talented veterans. So you're really missing out if you don't come and look at the artwork. You don't have to be a veteran or a family member of a veteran. You could just be somebody who likes to look at art or wants to see the creativity. Please stop by.
Mary, what do we need to plug in the next minute or so?
So tomorrow is Wear Red Day, which, if for anybody who's not aware, Wear Red Day, it's a national holiday, and it's for heart health. And it's mostly, you know, to support women. I mean, heart disease does affect men and women, but it is the number one killer of women. So you wear red so that you can honor this. And we actually take a photo every year on Wear Red Day. Anybody's welcome to come participate in the photo. If you're wearing red, please come out and support it. It's going to be right at the main hospital by the big flagpole. Mm-hmm. In the lobby, unless the weather's like it is today, then we might come outside because it was really pretty today. Nice, but at 12:15, wear red and come join us. Please come support Wear Red Day. And also we have upcoming Veterans Town Hall on February 6th in the theater here in Prescott from 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. Everybody's welcome, veterans, family members. You don't have to be a veteran. Maybe somebody who's thinking about registering, please come out to the town hall.
Okay. And you have a website.
Yes, our website is www.prescott.va.gov.
There you go. Barbara, again, your phone number for people who have interest in being volunteers.
It is 776-6013, and also the number to call for a shuttle service while they're at the facility.
Okay, and we're always looking for volunteers, whether it's 1 hour a week or 1 hour a day or whatever.
Absolutely.
It's always appreciated and very useful. And a final question for Mary. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I'm sorry, that's the Eagles, everybody. I'm sorry if I'm upsetting anybody, but I'm from Philly, if you can't tell by my accent. And go Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S.
But only by 7 points.
Is that what you're going with, Chuck?
That's right. Or two field goals. Or a three-pointer. Or a home run. They're going to win anyhow. How about Trish, what's your prediction?
Well,
since you're from South Dakota.
My prediction was for the Vikings. However, we aren't there. So, well, I'll go with the Eagles as well. So.
All right. Well, it's unanimous. I said Barbara because I was thinking, Barbara Omke's been there a little over a year now, hasn't she?
She March 6th, I believe, was a year for her, yes.
Good for her. And thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you for having us, as always,
thank
Chuck.
You.
All right. We're going to... what is that? Somebody's phone. Is that you? All right, we're going to wrap things up, get ready for the news. See you next week. Thank you for joining us on KQ&A, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, and on the web at kqna.com. And-
been listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA. Today's show was sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQNA, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQNA.